Scott Bischoff, for decades, wrote for the Augusta Chronicle, and he is now with the Global Golf Post and Irish Examiner. It is Masters Week, and we're going to start with bad news. Did they take away your peach ice cream?
Actually, they did not.
Oh.
The reports of its demise were greatly exaggerated, but they have already run out of cheese straws in the press building. So, you know, out of the frying pan, into the fire.
Well, I'm glad for your sake that that the peach ice cream made it. At Scott Bischoff on Twitter. So take me through the first 2.5 days or so. How much of the conversation on the grounds has been about the relationship of the two major tours that are represented?
I assume you're counting the LIV Golf as a major tour.
Sure.
And if you are, well, there's been a lot of conversation about it, but not a whole lot of aggravation about it. They're just, you know, it's been sort of much ado about nothing. They're just here all playing the Masters and seem to be on their best behavior, and nobody's making it, that big a deal about it.
Does
Greg Norman.
Except Greg Norman. Does that, as much as anything could possibly, speak to how dominant the Masters is?
It probably does. That's a very good way of putting it. I also, Marco Mira did mention that Fred Ridley managed to call all of the past champions before the champions dinner and, you know, remind them, what decorum is like around here. So they were all forewarned. And I'm sure that trickled out to the guys who weren't at the dinner table. So I think you're right. I think when people show up here at Augusta, they really do have one thing on their mind. And Rory, you know, I don't know if you saw his press conference. That was a perfect illustration. He did not want to talk about LIV Golf. He wants to talk about the Masters.
Right.
And so you know, that stuff maybe we'll pick up next week. But this week, it's about Augusta.
Yeah, and honestly, in a place like this, it probably should be about that. Now, Fred, I don't know, has Fred Ridley already had his press conference today?
He did. He did earlier.
So did what did he say? Because I've obviously been focused on other things. What did he have to say? Was he asked about it?
He was, and he said he thinks the proper tone has been set this week, and he hopes it changes the conversation going forward as well. But he was really, very interesting. He was asked very specifically about why Greg Norman was not extended an invitation here, like the commissioners of the PGA Tour and Keith Pelley, the CEO of the DP World Tour. And Greg did not get one as a past major winner or as a commissioner of a tour. And Fred Ridley said, well, basically it's because we think the focus needed to be this week on the Masters, saying Greg Norman would have made the focus on himself.
Well, that's probably accurate. so I totally do understand that. It's funny. Washington Post had an article today about Harold Varner and mm-hmm. how he said, look, He's never made any bones about it. It's about he made the decision because it was money. And he keeps telling those guys on tour, we're not growing the game. He's using colorful metaphors in there. We're not growing the game. We are taking a paycheck. How much of this do you think the narrative would have changed if everybody who went simply would have gone, do you see how much they're paying me?
It would have prevented a lot of silly conversation, quite frankly, and a lot of them have looked bad standing up there trying to say anything otherwise.
Right.
The ones who we've respected the most have been the ones like Harold, who basically, or even Tom Peters, most recently, who said, "Hey, they called me up and offered me a check. Yeah, I took it."
Yeah, Dustin Johnson the same way.
Exactly. So you know what? It would have made it a more honest conversation. It still would not have been great for golf, and people probably wouldn't like the LIV Golf. That, but they wouldn't be such villains about it all.
Yeah, we talked to Mark Lye yesterday about this. My position has always been the problem has been Norman. Norman lying about it. This is additive. It's not a. It was never additive. It was always supposed to be a way to eat at the PGA Tour. It's a, however, 40-year vendetta. he's been carrying. It's transparent to people who have been paying attention since he brought to Tim Fincham the idea of the World Golf Championships, or what became the World Golf Championships. He's always carried an axe about that. So that, to me, is the bigger issue.
It is, and this really has been about him, and he's their own worst enemy. They try to keep him from talking, even out there at live events now, because every time he opens his mouth, he gets him and digs the hole a little bit deeper. But they've not had a good week thus far away from Augusta National. You know, the announcement's going to come out in the next day or two that they lost their arbitration hearing with the DP World Tour.
Right.
And they were denied by the official World Golf Rankings to get points, and they lost their case in California, meaning the Saudi heads would have to be deposed.
Okay.
And so they've lost just about ground on every front. The best thing they could have going for them would be somebody winning here.
Well, first of all, very quickly, I don't want to make this all about that. Of those three cases, two I expected. I expected the DP World Tour to win that fight. I expected the case in California to go the way of the PGA Tour. I did not expect the World Golf Rankings to deny them points. And frankly, I think that's the wrong decision.
I do, too. I think it would have been a simple thing for them to do, because they wouldn't have been a lot of points anyway.
Right.
But I think they're doing it on the principle that they still aren't adhering to some of the requirements that they want to have. I think changes could be made and resubmitted, and
sure,
they can get them, but it would probably include some form of a cut or some form of a qualifying thing,
right,
and a way to get in. And when they do that, they'll get them. But it would have been a whole lot easier, quite frankly, to just give them the points.
Even if you just made them increase their field size to 70, something
right,
like that would be, or maybe not quite 70, but just increase the field
right,
size from what it is. I don't have any problem with 54 holes. If you want to play that, that's fine. That's
right,
what their tour is. But there's a reason why the Champions Tour doesn't get world rankings
right,
points, right?
Yep.
All right.
There
so Rory, Scheffler.
Oh, man, let's hope so.
Rory. Okay. So we already know who Scott Mishaw is rooting for. Scheffler, Rory, Rahm, or the field?
Well, I picked in the Irish Examiner coming out tomorrow. You could say the field, because I went with behind door number four, Patrick Cantlay. A little under the radar. There's a lot of pressure on those big three. But then again, they really are separating themselves from the rest of the field, and, you know, are the obvious favorites. But I went with Cantlay, and I think Corey Connors could sneak in there and be something. I think Jason Day could sneak up there. He's
wow,
playing really well. I think there are a lot of field options this week who could, you know, push aside the big three narrative. But those big three are really, really, really good right now, and they all feel very confident.
What about Cam Smith?
You know what? I've got him picked in a golf pool, but I just don't know if he's played enough. He hasn't played great. You know, he says, okay, I've only played four events
right,
this year. I only played five last year. But, you know, he's played nine rounds of competitive golf in 2023. Nine rounds.
That doesn't seem like a lot. Tiger's played.
It doesn't.
Tiger's played four.
Yeah. He's almost played. He's played barely more than Tiger. So.
That is really stunning. Do you think there is any credence to a lack of competitive edge because of the nature of LIV?
I think there's a little bit of credence to it. You know, when your money comes a little bit free, you probably don't grind quite as hard to make something happen, and they're not even getting any world ranking points for it. So there's nothing but a little extra cash to play for. But I do think there are a number of guys over there who are going to be very motivated this week, that even more than Cam Smith would have a chance. And Dustin Johnson would be one of them. Brooks Koepka, who, you know, at least showed some form last
yeah,
week on a course that is no comparison to this one. Let's not even try to. And then there's the unmentionable one, Patrick Reed.
I thought you were going to say Bryson DeChambeau. Who would be a less popular winner, Bryson DeChambeau or Patrick Reed?
Bryson DeChambeau's chances of winning this thing are less than nil.
Wow.
He's not a competitive golfer anymore. He and Phil have no chance. But I think Patrick Reed is playing pretty good golf, and he almost beat Rory in Dubai earlier this year. I think he's a serious threat.
I remember watching that tournament in Dubai and how much Rory probably really wanted to beat Pat. I think they both wanted to beat each other, but Rory had some... It would have been more embarrassing, I think, if Rory had lost.
Well, especially because he had a lead and kind of was choking it away and then ended up getting it back at the end. But Patrick, he plays the villain role better than anybody else right now, and he would, and here would be the place. It would be amazing to see how quiet the reception would be on 18 on Sunday were he to win.
Well, no, it wouldn't be quiet because all of the other LIV Tour players have to be there around the 18th green if a LIV player wins. I read that. Final thing for Scott Mishaw, Global Golf Post, Irish Examiner. Tell me what is the one thing that has held Rory back?
Here, you mean, at Augusta?
Here, but I think it probably is the same everywhere.
Yeah. Well, you know, he has some deficiencies in his short game. His driver is his greatest weapon. But his short game does have some deficiencies. When it's on, he's fine. When it's not on, he can let it get away from him. Here, he's got some mental scars issues ever since 2011. And he's had other different things that have kept him from winning, and it all builds up, and it builds up for everyone here, and he wants it so badly. It makes it very difficult. But I think the want-to factor has affected him last year and some of those other majors as well, especially at St. Andrews. But you know what? He sounds great this week. He sounds in a fantastic place, and if that driver is the weapon that it can be, he can easily win this week. It's the first time I really think he can here.
Would it be the most popular win other than maybe Tiger winning again?
Yeah, easily it would. You know, they played together on Monday, and it's the first time I could probably tell you that fans were equally enthusiastic to see both of them out there. It was a madhouse around them because people just love them both. But Rory he's transcended the level of guy that everybody's rooting for these days.
Yeah, he's the leader of that tour. There's no question about that. At Scott Mishaw on Twitter, Irish Examiner, GlobalGolfPost.com. Hey, thank you very much. I'm glad the peach ice cream's not gone.
I appreciate it. Thanks. I got to go see my Seamus Power, who had back-to-back hole-in-ones in the par three now.
Are you kidding?
No, he aced 8 and 9.
Oh, good for him. Good for him. Tell Seamus Powers we said hello.
Will do. Take it easy.
Thanks, man. Scott Mishaw. Wow. That was... But you don't want to win the par three contest, by the way. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
There's nobody who has ever won the par three contest won the Masters that year.
Oh, it's like the President's Trophy.
Kind of, yeah. Oh, very, okay. Very, very, very similar.